If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The Ledge Podcast is back for 2019, wishing you and your houseplants a very happy new year. I hope you had a fab festive season and that there were either some houseplants or maybe some houseplant related items in Santa's goodie bag for you. I got a wonderful hand lens, I got a cactus and succulent print, some wonderful crochet plant pots and lots more to enjoy. And I may have treated myself to the odd little treat off eBay as well in the form of some Smithiantha rhizomes, which arrived today. How exciting, a new package in the post. But for some of us, the houseplant obsession can go a bit far. We've all been there, that moment when that must-have houseplant just leaps out at you and you must have it, even though you don't really know anything about it. Or possibly you don't have anywhere to put it. Or usually both. Here's listener Erin Wessel of the Central United States, who fell very heavily for a very large fern.
I bought a fern from a grower in Florida. It's called the giant leather fern, Actiniopterus. And it is, I got it in the mail. It was about 7 feet tall. And it did not fit on any of my tables at all. And the rhizome for it was too big to fit in the pot that I had gotten for it. So I had to kind of like haphazardly pot it up in a box outside for the summer.
Sound familiar? Yeah, thought so. Well, I'm glad to say that Erin did manage to keep his fern and find a way of fitting it into his apartment. Listener Letty Reynaldo, who lives near New York, also has struggles in keeping her houseplant collection under control.
It is pretty much like an addiction. You want to, and I think when with social media, which I was never, like I said, I've never been on Facebook or anything like that. I mean, I have an account, don't get me wrong, but I've never been one to be on it and say, hey, I'm going to eat at this place. That part was always about plants, actually. That's all I did was just look at people's plants. And when I see this amount of plants, it becomes like, okay, I need to stop. But you say that, but I just ordered the Hoya Bella because I don't know why. I like the flowers. I'm looking at the Hoya Chelsea and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, why did I buy that? It's not like a beautiful, you know, looking flowering plant. I might be 80 years old by the time this flowers.
It's all right, Letty. You are amongst friends here and we all understand how you feel. I know from speaking to many of you, either in person and on social media, that you blame my show for making you buy lots of plants that you've just fallen in love with. And that's a lovely thing when new and exciting houseplants can come into your life through On The Ledge. But I'm also aware that sometimes the number of houseplants you have can start to become a bit of a burden. And that's something I'm addressing in this episode. I'm going to be talking to Joe Cook, who's a hoarding expert, about how to know whether you have a problem with hoarding houseplants and what you can do about it. Hopefully, most of you will listen and realise you don't have that much of a problem after all. And there are a few simple things you can do to keep your collection organised and lovely. But for some of you, this may be a big wake-up call. If that's you, please head over to janeperrone.com, where my show notes contain loads of great resources for anyone who thinks they've got an issue with hoarding of any kind. There are loads of different ways of getting help. So now let's hear from Jo, and I'll let her introduce herself.
My name's Jo Cook. I'm a professional declutterer and organiser. I have been for the last 5 years. I've also written a book called Understanding Hoarding, came out last year. I help people in their homes. I help people that have hoarding issues and people that have that are also clutter bugs. And I can be helping people declutter handbags. I can help people declutter beer mats, fishing rods, and also look at plants. That can be included as well as out-of-date food. So my job is very varied.
When it comes to this podcast that I make, I'm always hearing from my listeners that at the end of every episode, they've got a big, long list of plants they want to get. And I kind of feel slightly responsible about the fact that I know some people end up with collections so large that things start to get a little bit out of hand. And rather than providing a lovely escape from life, the house plants start to tip over into a thing to worry about and get stressed about. So this is why I wanted to talk to you about hoarding, specifically in relation to plants, just to find out if there's any kind of warning signs we should be looking out for when our plants, our collection is getting a bit too much. What are the things we need to think about when we're sort of deciding if we've got an issue with hoarding plants?
I think it's when you fail to start opening up the plants that you've ordered, when they begin to die, when you become so overwhelmed with your collection that you don't do anything with them because of the sheer amount of plants that you've got, and where are they going to go? I think in the same way as when we might order clothes, we don't know where they're going to go, when we're going to have time to wear them. And I've been into people's homes where there are literally unopened packets of seeds and plants that have been delivered, and they remain unopened and almost hidden from me because they feel embarrassed and ashamed that they haven't planted them or haven't given them to the friends or done anything with them. But it's become almost compulsive that they need to buy this plant because it's the latest edition of a plant and they must have that. It might relate to orchids, for instance. I think orchids, there are many sort of passionate orchid collectors, as well as cacti. Cacti seems to be another plant that people love to collect. I don't know if you found that, Jane.
Definitely. And so that's interesting. So if we're getting to the point where, as you say, we're almost ashamed of the fact that we've got something that we haven't even opened, or we've not been able to pot up or put anywhere because, well, perhaps there isn't any room, or we just don't have the time anymore, that's the point when we need to start looking at this seriously. I guess the first step possibly is acknowledging you've got a problem, right? Because presumably a lot of hoarders don't think of themselves as hoarders.
No, and they fail to recognise. They become almost blind to their clutter until someone actually points out, well, you know, Joe, you've got, you know, 12 cacti that you haven't put anywhere, and they're dying, and how much did they cost? So many hoarders are in denial that they've got a problem, and nor do they want to address it, because it's an emotional pull that they feel that they have to buy things. It becomes compulsive, and it only becomes a problem when houses fail to function in the way that they should. So if someone's plant collection suddenly encroaches on the functionality of a home, or it may be that people's finances are impacted by their need to hoard, that's when it becomes an issue. And generally what I like to do is sit down with people, and by grouping things together, they can then work out, oh my goodness, you know, I've got 12 packets seeds of cauliflower that I haven't done anything with. Or they might even recognize that they've got packets where it's so faded that they don't know what's in it. And then when they go to, and this is a good example, I've worked with one lady and she said, well, I'm just going to throw them in a pot and see what happens. I'm thinking they might be sort of pretty poppies, and they ended up being sort of cauliflowers and cabbages and things like that. So,
And do you find that once people have had it made clear to them that they do have a problem, that then it's an uphill struggle to get them to actually work through this issue in terms of removing some of those plants? How hard is it for those people then to let go?
it can be very hard. I've worked with one lady, and we were tackling her kitchen, and she was even having trouble letting go of cereal boxes that were empty. And a colleague of mine, what we saw were dead plants on the windowsill. He began to put them in compost, and she said, "No, you can't throw those away. I know that they're dead, but they're there as a reminder that, you know, my mother bought them for me, or that was a present that my son gave me." So people are very reluctant to even throw dead orchids or plants away because it was a present. And also they, you know, sometimes want to be reminded that they didn't look after them very well. And whereas my job would be, let go of anything negative, let go of anything that's dead. For them, they need to feel that guilt that they haven't looked after that possession very well.
That's so interesting. And what's the usual root of this issue? I mean, I suppose my idea is that it's that there's some past trauma that's expressing itself in the form of wanting to hoard. Is it always that, or is it just sometimes somebody's just got that personality and there hasn't been any specific trigger?
Generally, hoarding is triggered by a life event. Through some sense of loss, and more recently, the research has shown that hoarding can be triggered by a lack of warmth growing up. So, you know, a lack of love felt from their parents. So hoarding very much acts as a comfort blanket, as just like a child will have all its teddies surrounding itself in its cot. Hoarding acts as emotional insulation. So people want to have as many things around them to make them feel secure and loved by things. So to have things around them rather than people can ease the anxiety and the sense of sort of lack of love that they felt growing up. So hoarding tends to be triggered by a void. You know, there's an emptiness, there's a loss, whether it's loss of love, you know, loss of a partner, loss of marriage, any type of loss, hoarding fills that void.
And once we've recognised that we have a problem, you described sitting down and trying to evaluate something. I guess that's the really tricky part. And is this where another family member or somebody objective coming in from the outside can be a help? Or is, I mean, I can imagine getting kind of wound up if somebody says, "Oh, you're coming in, you don't need that plant." But I guess it's the way that's sensitively handled in terms of having that support.
Absolutely. And if I recognise that someone has a real passion for plants, that plants is their thing, that's what sparks joy in their life. It gives them, you know, great pleasure. I'd look at what else can we let go of to accommodate your love of plants. So you almost make sacrifices. So it might be that they might free up space for the things that don't give them so much joy. So I look at the whole house, you know, sort of rationally. And sometimes even people I know who have a love of fishing rods, to the point where, you know, he removed one of his chairs in the living room because that equaled being able to accommodate more fishing rods. So, and people will do that with plants. You know, they will remove books from a window ledge or books from a bookcase so they can have more spider plants.
Yeah, that's ringing a few bells there for me. And I guess, you know, I mean, I'm slightly sort of snorting as I hear about the guy with the fishing rods. But in reality, one has to recognise that that's no more silly a collection than a collection of plants, really. It's just we've all got something we love. And you have to kind of say, well, good luck to the guy with his fishing rods. That's absolutely fine. What do we do if we've really honestly looked at this and we've decided that we don't have a problem, and yet our families are still telling us that we have a problem? You know, that's a difficult situation then. If you're convinced you're not a hoarder, but your whole family is telling you that you are, what do you do then?
Well, family and friends can, you know, they find it so frustrating, and I have many calls from family members. And family members, I run two hoarding support groups. So people come to support groups to help with their hoarding. And family members say, "I just don't know what to do. You know, my mother won't listen. She's got too many plants. She's got too many clothes. My father has too many fishing rods. He won't let go of anything with a plug on it. You know, and I'm really worried about it." And I have to put things in perspective for them and say, well, What are the implications of that person's hoard? How is that impacting on you? So there needs to be a type of acceptance that this person has a hoarding issue and we can't fix it. They need to want to change themselves, and actually it's removing any judgment and being able to support them is the best that family members can do, rather than feeling they've got to go in and rescue and bring a skip in and get rid of it all. It's working closely with them to make sure that they are safe in their homes. So, and put in perspective, you know, you might not live in the same way as your mother or father lives, but there's a certain amount of acceptance that you have to feel and acknowledge.
When you're working with somebody with plants, I guess the extra added problem of it being a living thing comes into it. What would you, if say you've got somebody, for example, who's a lover of orchids, who's got an awful lot of orchids, where do you start then in terms of saying to them, right, you know, you've got all these dead plants which you've had delivered. I guess that's the first place to start in terms of possibly putting some of those on the compost heap.
Well, it is, and it's acknowledging the waste of money, perhaps. You know, that's the bit that tends to come to the forefront of someone's mind to start with, is I spent all this money on it, and then secondly that they're dead. But from my point of view, the good thing about plants that are dead is they don't go to landfill. You know, they can be composted, so that is a real bonus that someone could think, well, all right, this orchid is dead, but at least it can be composted. Whereas something else that might, you know, something that might break is broken and you can't fix it. So that is at least add some sort of alleviation from that. And I think we talk around about planning and thinking, well, why don't you set aside Saturday mornings for dealing with your houseplants, so there's a structure to their week, so that they spend time accommodating their love and their passion, so that it doesn't become a problem, and they don't, you know, they're not then left with all these plants that they haven't done anything with. So it's sort of setting up structures and home plans, and saying, well, don't try not to order any more plants until you've dealt with the ones you've already got, because otherwise there's going to be a backlog, and then there's this conflict of which plant do I love the most? So then there's suddenly, you know, the dynamics of I don't know which one I want to deal with first comes into play. So nothing happens because I then feel too overwhelmed to deal with them.
And do you find at some point, if people really embrace some change in their lives and do start tackling this issue, that they start to get the other sensation, which is the thing that helps me get rid of plants that are either going to the compost heaps or oftentimes that I'm giving away to other people, is a feeling of kind of lightening and freedom when you do get rid of some excess plants and you think, oh great, they're going to a new home and I've opened up my life and I don't have to worry about that plant anymore.
Absolutely. It can be very liberating, especially knowing that a new home can be identified and the plant can be loved just as much as you'd love it, but someone else is going to enjoy it just as much, whether it's plants going into, you know, especially if there's an outlet that you have a real pull, you know, whether it's plants going into a care home or into a conservatory in a children's nursery or whatever it might look like. And I know that some of the things people let go of, I send to the women's refuge centres, and that's a real pull, knowing that their toiletries and their towels and their sheets are going to be appreciated by someone that has nothing. So yes, once they can identify, oh, I know who will love this, that it can be feel really liberating, knowing that it's going to a good home.
I think that's something to cling on to when you are thinking about getting rid of plants. And even as you say, that's something going on the compost heap. Well, hey, it's going back into the soil and making some new compost for you to use elsewhere. And that's can only be a good thing. Are there any other points that we've missed in terms of how to tackle this problem? Is there any other advice you'd offer for somebody who might think that they're tipping over into a bit of a hoarding issue with plants?
I think it's a good idea to take stock of what you've got, because sometimes I don't think that we do, especially when there might be a clutter of cacti, for instance, and they might be located in various nooks and crannies of your home, is actually to bring them all together. just in the same way as we might think, actually, I think I need a new pair of jeans. But then when you bring all your pairs of jeans together, you think, oh, actually, I've got plenty of jeans. I don't need any more. I think that could be the same way with plants, bringing all your plants together. And I think looking at them, just as sometimes if you have too many pictures on a wall, paintings, you can't really appreciate any of them because they haven't got the room to breathe. And I think that can be said of plants from a visually. Sometimes just one plant on its own on a windowsill or three, you can appreciate the look of and the beauty rather than all 50 of them being crammed together.
That's an interesting point. I've also urged people to try putting more than one plant in one pot so that you're not having millions and millions of individual pots, which can look very cluttered and crowded. That I found is working quite well for me because I did get to the point where I had so many pots and that I was kind of running out of saucers and cash pots for them to go in. And if you can combine, that seemed to work quite well for me. But yeah, that's a really good point. And as you say, we'd probably all be very shocked if we put all our houseplants together and actually looked at them. Maybe that's something to do at some point and take a class photo of all my houseplants. That's a fantastic idea. And setting aside that specific time, as you say, to work on them is also great. I mean, I often find myself, you know, I'm making the dinner and I'm also, you know, misting something. And rather than sort of enjoying the time, it's kind of squeezed into other things. So actually setting aside that time is a great idea. And hopefully this also makes us be able to enjoy our collection all the more, because if you've tipped over to the point where it's a worry and a stress rather than a pleasure, then why are you still doing it ultimately? But that's a hard message for us to understand. And yeah, I sympathize for all the families out there who are dealing with people with huge plant collections. it's something, especially when you go away on holiday as well. I mean, that's another point. If you've got a fishing rod collection, it's going to be okay for a few weeks, but the plants, no.
and then you have the whole cost. I think one lady, I think she's got an irrigation system set up and pays her cleaner to come in and you know, water the plants. And you then become custodian, you know, to your plants rather than something that it becomes a responsibility and a burden rather than something that you want to enjoy and look at. And you know, I think that's when it can tip over the other side as well.
Well, that's all fantastic advice, Jo. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Don't forget to check out the show notes at janeperrone.com for lots of great resources, including details of Jo's book, Understanding Hoarding, which is published by Sheldon Press. Listening back to this interview really made me focus on what's important in my plant collection. And one of the...
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Things I've resolved to do in 2019, and I resolved to do it in 2018 and didn't finish, was finish mapping all of my houseplants onto a spreadsheet so I can follow exactly what I've got. And I've already made a start today, so tick for me. And I hope that you too can find the time to really streamline your houseplant collection and make sure that every one of those plants, it means something special to you. Don't be afraid to throw anything out that just isn't bringing you pleasure, or perhaps find another home for it with a friend or family member. As we've learned through all the episodes of On the Ledge, not all houseplants will thrive in all settings. So if a houseplant isn't right for you, it's time to move on. I'm not doing a Q&A this week because next week will be a Q&A special, and also And I'm also going to go through a list of some of the vital plant gadgets that you might need as a houseplant collector. If you're not a member already, do check out Facebook group Houseplant Fans of On The Ledge on Facebook, our lovely, friendly, warm and helpful group, where you can get lots of advice, share your plant successes and failures, and generally shoot the breeze about your indoor gardening habits. Please do answer all three questions when you join, otherwise you're not coming in. And my lovely moderators, Nathan and Amy, and myself are on hand to help you with any problems you have on the group. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you to my guests, Erin Wessel, Letty Rinaldo and Joe Cook. I'll be back next Friday for more houseplant advice, tips and expertise. See you later, alligator fern. The music you heard in this week's episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops and Rasham Piditi Pokara by Samuel Corwin, both licensed under Creative Commons. See my website, janeperrone.com, for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.